Dr. Brian Halverson is one of the UK's leading holistic dentists. He is the author of Great Teeth for Life and lectures widely to the public and to health practitioners. Brian is passionate about providing preventative information to guide us through all the stages of our lifetime. To find out more about Brian, go to www.brianhalverson.com. And now here is Dr. Brian Halverson.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Hi, Brian here, the Integrated Dentist. This show is a real special. I'm going to talk to Wolfgang Sonnenberg, author of a newly released book, Better the Whole World Against Me Than My Soul. I've known Wolfgang for 1 year now, and he really is different, but different in a good way. I think you will really enjoy his views on life, and please listen to the show. I think you'll find it's really worthwhile.
Now, Wolfgang, can you tell me what actually was your origins? You know, where did you start your life, and what then brought you to the point you are now?
First, I want to say thank you, Dr. Brian, for inviting me here and just giving me the chance to share what I think everybody should know and live up to. Because what I'm doing today is just sharing all what I learned through a lot of tough times. I was born 52 in Germany after World War II. It was really, not only for me, for nearly everybody there, a very tough time. And my parents, when they connected, they didn't even have an apartment or a room because everything was regulated. It was not enough space to live for people. So only when they married, they got the right to get a room. And that is not always a good reason to marry, just simply like that.
Absolutely.
So then it was in the end they divorced. So, but I grew up in a time and an environment where everything, what we have experienced today, and kids grow up today with iPhones and a lot of material stuff, we didn't have that. But the beauty at that time was, we know we don't have it, and with that we need to do something to get it. I had no grandma or grandpa said, Dr. Brian, can you give me please? That was different. And I had no mentor really in my life, so I made a lot of mistakes. Like you say, the stupid people don't learn out of their mistakes. The clever ones learn out of their mistakes, and the wise one learns from the mistakes of others. So I was a long time very stupid, making mistakes, not learning out of it. Started a little bit being more clever, and hopefully I'm more wise today. And that is also then writing this book and giving other people the chance of making all the mistakes I did.
What really impressed me was that you had a good education, you had a successful business, but there was something inside you that said, I'm not where I should be in life. Could you explain those early days and what brought you to the where you are now?
Yeah, here we come to define words. What is a good education? Educare comes from the Latin root and it's bringing it from the inside out. But what we call today education is putting something on the people and not caring what is really about what is inside. So I once studied law, became a lawyer, and built an office in the city of Hamburg. There is a lake inside, and the best address is you have an office at this lake. So I managed to have an office building there, different companies, employees, and everything. So my dad would say also at that time, he did well. I can be proud of him. But looking back, I just did it because I wanted to make my dad proud, or get his attention, recognition. Because in my childhood, he always said, I'm stupid, I will never manage, I will end up cleaning streets, and so it is. So something inside forced me to build the facade. But it was really a facade. And I didn't have the inner fulfillment. Today I'm working a lot, and my professional title today is, using is purpose hacker. It's just, what is the real purpose? What are you? And like I said, I was an apple born as an apple, but unfortunately in a burn, peach family. And they sent me to peach kindergarten, peach school, and tried to make a good peach out of me. But I was an apple, so I always felt, but I tried then to build good education, good peach education, build this peach facade. But inside, I was never really happy and fulfilled.
I know in your book you mention the English ballet dancer who you liken to the same, what should we say, viewpoint that he was an apple in a peach environment. Mm-hmm. Can you just expand a little bit on that, you know, so that people can understand, you know, that sometimes we just are not part of what we really deep down know we should be?
Because nobody is really caring about this. You know, for thousands of years, it was really about survival. How we managed to survive in the art and as an individual. We didn't have food every day. We started hunting or gathering stuff. Today, here around, the shops are open some 24 hours a day. So there's always food. So for us today, it's not just simply about survival of the art, having something to eat. It's really more getting an understanding, what are we built for? And, you know, when you come from the poor side, you would first think the solution is where the money is. At least I did it like this. And when I went just for the money and had the material stuff, then I realized all the material stuff doesn't make you happy. So I mixed the symbolic with the experience I wanted to have. So I created facades, luxury, but the stuff doesn't make you happy. So I needed to get rid of everything, or at least it was my way. It's not the need that everybody's doing it, and that's what I'm trying teaching, but don't buy the stuff to get recognition from others, because then you're not realizing what kind of fruit you are. The moment you're really in the middle of yourself, like say, and you recognize, oh, I'm an apple, and start to be the best apple you can be, and you don't care if a banana likes that, yeah, or a kiwi likes that. You just, I'm an apple. And then you can come back to all the material stuff on planet Earth you want. And I wrote also a book, Millionaire Spirit. And I'm really believing that we all should go for more wealth. Like a good gardener shouldn't just be afraid if the tree has enough apples. No, he is a good gardener, the tree will have enough apples. And then it's not about just stopping because you have enough apple. No, if you're a good gardener, you will do the best for the apple tree. And even if you have more apples than you can eat, doesn't matter, for the apple tree it's good. So for your bank account or whatever, your family, it's good you have more money because even you can donate. And this way also just, I think it's two other words I really want to define when I have a title, Better the Whole World Against Me. It's not about having natural laws against me, not this kind of world. It's just the facade world. what everybody else is saying. Because in the end, and there is a book out there of the top 5 regrets of the dying, in the end, nobody said so far, I believe, shit, I should have done a million more. Ah, I should have been more in the office. No, what service said is, in the end, people regret what they didn't do. Not what they did, what they didn't do. And the top 5 are, I didn't live my true self. And it was, for me, the feeling, shit, I'm living a facade. I'm not living my true self, what we call purpose. I didn't live who I'm really, my essence. And this way, I'd love to have, not that I really would love to have the world against me, but I prefer better having the whole world in a different opinion, a different worldview. But if I may be the only apple on planet Earth, I'm the apple. And I need to live this apple thing. And the other word, I think, what is very important, that we are aware, we mix easily normal and natural. Because it was normal what I did. I studied and looked how other people set up their offers and what they're doing. They were running after money. They're selling their souls. That was normal. But it's not nature. It's not our nature to fake everything. It's a wrong belief that we can't make enough wealth being who we truly are. And the superstars in business, like a Steve Jobs or whatever, they say you need to really love what you're doing. They're always teaching this. It's their passion. That's why they do it and succeed. So I call it purpose-driven money. And if you really, really, really love yourself first and discover who you are, what you bring into the world, what vision you have, then you find ways also to create a super lifestyle. Because we're living now in a time we have so many resources, so for every fruit is a way to live emotionally fulfilled and material wealth as well. And but we need to change our belief system that it's natural to be poor, and that is not true for human beings. In YouTube you find an interview I did with Muhammad Yunus, the Peace Nobel Prize guy, and he invented the microcredit, so he's very famous for that. And we talked, because when I brought out the book Millionaire Spirit, journalists asked me, how can you believe that everybody should be a millionaire? We need poor people, otherwise nobody is doing the work. And this is a crazy thought in the world. And I tried to reply, if you would go to Paul McCartney and say, oh, we saw your bank account is full, stop, you're not allowed to do music anymore because you're rich. Don't make concerts anymore, you're rich. You're not allowed to work anymore. It's crazy. It's so crazy thinking we need poor people that someone is doing the work. No. And we see the world is changing. We are inventing robots, conveyor belts and everything. Though a lot of simple work is done by machines. So what is left for us? And I think we're living at a time where we really can think what is natural for us. And we're thinking we are human beings. So being is so much more. We are not human doings, human beings.
I think this is a very important point that you bring out, that if we were left or guided to live our, what you were saying, natural life, but instead we are what I would call being conditioned, and this can start from very, very early childhood where you are shamed about doing something to conform, and this leads to a lot of the I think you call it personalities, sub-personalities, which in fact we all find very difficult to break free of in our sort of everyday lives, because it's like a scar on the brain, and it's a bit like a computer, as far as I can see, that actually has, when you have certain conditions, it triggers that particular response. And what impressed me about your book was that you actually managed to break free of this. And one of the, what it was very relevant to me was that as a dentist, when I was younger, one of the key things that a dentist had to have was a Porsche. And you mentioned the fact that you had aspirations for the top of the range BMW. And it was one of your thoughts, if I may say, that having this, you would have achieved something and given you happiness. And what resounded with me was that although I enjoyed the Porsche, was I enjoying it because it was a super fast car and everything else? Or was it part of conforming to what the image of people was of me as a successful dentist? That really had a big impact about where materialism doesn't really buy you happiness. Would you agree with, you know, the sort of thought pattern that I'm following? Because it did have an impact with me in reading your book.
Yeah, for sure. You can say most people buy stuff for money they don't have, really. That's why they go in debt. And they buy stuff they don't need, really, to impress people they don't know and don't even like. That was my life. I thought I need to do it, because every dentist is doing this, every lawyer is doing this. So I just followed it and didn't feel what is right for me. Honestly, Porsche is a German car, it's a great car, high quality. But you know, once I was luckily, I tried to buy one, and at that time it should have cost $150,000. And I tried to fit in, but it's such a small car. And I couldn't really sit straight, and I had a back problem, so I couldn't really sit there. And the salesman says, you need to a little bit, and you move, move, that you fit in. I said, why should I try to fit in and pay $150,000 for that? So then I bought a BMW, so it was a little bit more from the seating comfortable. But actually, in the book is not the total story of my, would say, awakening of this disaster. I had this BMW, this 850, at that time, it was a supercar, and I needed to stop at the red light. And then I turned my head, and next to me was a car stopping as well. It was an 850. And I just said, wow, he made it. And then, oh, then I realized I'm sitting in a similar car, kind of same car. And I have no really connection to this. It was more for the outside. And the stupidity, I said, this guy made it, but I don't know him. Was it a mechanic for a test drive? Was it a rented car? I have no clue. So I saw somebody both sides. I was sitting in one and had no connection to it. The other person I don't know, and I said he made it. So it was on both sides, it was speculation, no truth. And it was a kind of awakening. What is really the truth? And you know, it was the same also with houses. I have an elderly friend who told me once, you built three houses in your life. The first one for your enemies, the second for your friends, and the third one for yourself. And it was the same with the car. Today, I'm interested in how is it inside. But in the beginning it was, how does it look from the outside? Because I was standing out, couldn't afford it, but so I always saw the facade. And I wanted the facade. First, me, to belong to those people who can afford a Porsche. and at the same, I have built this super great house. That's why the first one was the office building. That was for the enemies, for the competition, look here, I am there. And then the next big house was more for the friends. Then you think about guest rooms and everything. Why that? It's so much cheaper to send them and pay them the hotel and building an extra room and a house for them. But then I realized, and I have a beautiful garden, beautiful house. So I created a wonderful view for the neighbors. And when I looked out, I saw all these cheap houses, not so decorated like them, because I bought and built it also in the wrong place. So that is the stupid stuff we're doing, just following path. And just yesterday, I had a talk, which I was allowed to mention this also, because today we have a computer here, and this, I see your keyboard there. And I just asked the person, why are the letters like this? Like they are now. Nobody knows really. Because if you think, what are the most letters you use? And what are the fingers you most use? Maybe it's, and then should be the most that are there, what the fingers are you use most. But it's not, if you look at the keyboard. It's not.
I find that right. I agree, yes.
Yes. So why is it like that? And it comes from the old times when we had the first real typewriter. And it was like a finger goes the letter, the metal finger goes with the letter. And they started with this idea, having the most used letters. So, but the faster you got, the next finger stopped the finger, so R. So then they needed to spread out the letters that you can type faster, that it's not hindering. And I remember how difficult it was sometimes to get it off again. But today, it's a totally different technology, but we are stupidly stuck with the same way. And kids born today, they don't know even that there was once a typewriter like this with no electric, no batteries, and no VLAN or whatever. But still we keep on doing this stupid stuff. And that's the same in the game and same in life.
I may say to my listeners that if you read Better the World Against Me Than My Soul, Wolfgang discusses all sorts of issues which will make you think. And this is what I found fascinating. And I would thoroughly recommend you buy it. It is out now on Amazon. And if we're listening to Wolfgang, you'll see he picks up on things and he just takes a different view to what we have been conditioned into believing. And this is why it is such a good read. But it's even more than that, because it's giving you a pathway to look at trying to call it whatever you like by modern terminology, more enlightenment or whatever. Wolfgang, can we go on from what I'll call your, when you made the decision to leave the world, what happened then?
I wouldn't call it leave it much. I mean, totally, like I said, yeah. Different view. I just came back to life because I lost myself. I was a lost soul before, and just were building the facade, the empty facade, because my soul was not there. Yeah, In the end, people say, wow, he cut it off, really, something, but it was a process for me also. I gained weight, I had 30 kilos more than I have today, I was not healthy, I was for sure not happy. No laughter really, just always stress, tension, a lot of tension in my body. And you know, our cells are just a binary system. My body cell can only do things, open up or close. That's the only thing. So I was closed. My body posture, everything was closed. Even if the facade might or the big car impressed other people. But inside it was empty. This I wanted to change. It was a process of a few years and I didn't know how to get out of it because I couldn't see what to do different. But it helped me then. One day I was thinking, gosh, 20 more years like this. And then you can go on pension and then life can start or whatever. And then I got an idea, who of those people who are doing it for 20, 30 or 40 years would be, for me personally, an ideal? Wow, I want to become like this person. And I couldn't find one. I couldn't find the lawyer, I couldn't find these office guy who said, wow, this guy is impressing me as a human being. Wow, I want to become like him. And I couldn't find one. I said, I need to stop this road. And it doesn't feel good for me. I don't see that I could be the person I want to be. So then I cut it off really radically. Gave my law practice. I had an employed lawyer, so he got everything. I had a partner in the tax company, he got everything, a partner in the financial stuff, and we, in the end we were even in kind of construction building. Got rid of everything, here have it, and I personally ended up with more than $1 million of debt. But I was more free. The stress I had was image stress, what people would think about me, but I said, I need to go through it. And I had a saying, and if I need to live from welfare the rest of my life, I would do this, prefer this, than selling my soul again. It's just a different version of the book title, but then that was what I had in my mind then. Mm. And then I figured out more and more what I really want to do, what is really my gift I could give to the world, and started doing this, and ending up then really doing it with full of my heart. And later I discovered also this kind of purpose-finding process and everything. I was just working on a next book about helping people then to come closer to their purpose. And for me, the purpose is just the essence of you. It's nothing you need to define. You need to discover who you really are in this way. Apple, banana, or whatever. Say simply like fruit and energy. So I say, discover your purpose, then define your vision means, if you live your purpose, what can you see? What will be then in the world? And then comes the mission, what you really do, how you fulfill the vision. And then you can really have a purpose-driven business. And then money follows. Money is not the goal. Money follows as a result. Success is a result. And so I did this. And money followed. And suddenly, I was really rich. Not before, I was in stress and always financing things. So the change to also totally my going through this, what you call good education, and figuring out they just brought me on the totally wrong track. Nobody cared in school, in kindergarten, even at home, and in university, what kind of fruit are. What is the gift you want to bring to the world? And I believe everybody has to give something. And everybody is a unique individual. Look at your fingerprints, DNA and everything. It's just unique. And especially in these times, what we even in the internet business say, there is a long tail business or whatever. There is a possibility with your gift, to find a way to make the living, and that is the living for happiness and the living for the material stuff, how you want to. Because it's not important that you're the richest man on planet Earth. Like Steve Jobs always said, I don't want to be the richest on the graveyard. I just want to live my passion. And if I do it right, he ended up being a billionaire. Just it happened. So this is my strong belief today. Go for it, and don't be scared, because the scarcity, which you mentioned, the sub-personalities, you created the persona. You believe that's me, so I try to be this lawyer and be successful. But with the BMW example at the traffic light, see, I was not. It was a facade, and I wasn't. And today, I feel congruent. I feel more authentic. I'm so happy to be alive, totally different than with the facade.
It's interesting when you said about you noticed changes in your health, especially every day. I actually, when I'm seeing patients, one of the questions I ask them is, how's life? And they think, well, you know, I've come here for my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, you know, how's the job going? Are you stressed? And they often will open up. And then we find out that often their jaws are clenched, that they have got various stress-related illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, that if we have a stressful mind, it causes directly blood inflammation that leads to virtually all the diseases that modern man now suffers from. So what I'm suggesting, if I may say, is that what you have done is given a superb example of it doesn't have to be that way. You know, you don't have to conform and suffer all the health benefits just because you think you need to have that image, you need to have that money. And that's what I found really so enlightening from reading your book, because you made it a very sort of graphic way of going from these stages, because you said yourself that it was difficult, you know, but you had to make a decision because you saw beyond what your facade was. And so in lots of ways, I can relate, but also when I get the feedback from my own patients and seeing the diseases. The problem is that in a surgery, I can recommend, but I can't actually treat them. Whereas what you're doing in a way, and hopefully in a much bigger way, is helping people to achieve their potential. Would you agree with the point I'm making?
For sure, I'm agreeing with the hope, helping a lot of people in different ways. I'm working on fulfilling the vision. Because there's one important point when you talk to people who have maybe the tight jaw or whatever, that we realize and understand our body decides, our body posture decides what we can think. In the speech or workshop, I just simply do it with people. Just open your eyes, very wide, make the eyes open, and listeners, if you're at home, you serve, wherever you listen, you can do this. Open the eyes very wide and then try to be aggressive. And you will see it's not possible. Because if you have open eyes, that means for thousands of years you want information in, and then you can't be aggressive. If you want to be aggressive, you need to tighten up and make your eyes smaller. So it's not about this information. The real information I want to give you is realize how you have your eyes decides how, what you can do, what you can think. If you have the eyes really open, you can't have an aggressive thought. It's not possible. So realize your body posture decides what you can think, how you see the world. And the other opposite is like the tight, bind your teeth hard together, make a fist, really a lot of tension in the body, and then think how beautiful life is. It's not possible, really. So you can do a lot for people if you teach them relax and you see a totally different world. So, and therefore, I just agree totally. And like I said, our body cells can just go tight or open up. And wouldn't we not all love an open world, that everybody is open and not tight? But I copied people who were tight. And the stupidity in my job, but it's a little bit like doctors also.
Everything, absolutely.
A lot of doctors, after a while, only see sickness. I, as a lawyer, always thought, where's the trick here? Where are they betraying? Where's the problem? And afterwards, it was a hard time looking for the good stuff and start to trust people again, because I was programmed just on one bad side. And And one day, I guess I was in the end of my 30s, I thought, what do I really want in life? And actually, I just thought, I want to be happy. I want to be healthy and have enough finances to live like I want to live. Three things of things. And then I just said, what I'm doing today, does it make me happy? Does it help me to be healthy? And does it help me to get the finances? And I realized everything what I was doing didn't make me happy, was not good for my health, the way I lived, and I wasted a lot of money. Not really the way I went. So, and I started to shift that, and then started to look, where are happy, healthy, wealthy people? And there are a lot of wealthy people that are unhappy. So it was stupidity to just go for money, because in ending up with more money, but unhappy. No, that's not my goal. Because anyway, you can take things with you later.
Now, what struck me about your good self is that when you said about factors that dripped in to make you change, that by my standards, you realized it early enough that you could actually, for some inner sort of being, you actually realized that you could not continue, because you would have got to the point where, although you were noticing health, you know, negatives, that you also knew that it was something a lot more, that you needed to actually stop that dripping of stresses into your life, and you were brave enough, if I may say, to make those dramatic changes, which a lot of us, frankly, often, you'd argue with me and say it's not about bravery, but the fact is I think a lot of our listeners would actually look at you and say that you were very brave to take the route you took.
You can look like this, and then we come back, you say, yeah. I see the world a little bit different. You know, I was not brave enough to stay there. I was afraid to stay there. So I think it needs so much courage to live against your nature. So it's just for me the opposite. I think I choose the simple way, the easiest way. And I know a lot of people say that it takes courage, but then we come to the subpersonality. Who is talking? Who is thinking that thought? Who am I? And in the end, this is just about awareness. Realizing, because if I don't feel good, then I know it's not good for me. And when someone says, stay there where you don't feel good, who is saying that? It can't be me. It can't be my soul. So the moment you start to observe yourself, who is behind the thought, who is saying this to me, stay there, what's not healthy for you. So it can't be my soul doesn't want.
From reading your book, you have seemed to have transcended to a level where I think, if I may say, your purpose in life is much, much more to give, that you would like to see. And I know that you've done, and reading your book, very much resources looking at society, looking at finance, looking at banking, and taking that different view. And as you said, you know, asking different questions of the way that our lives are being governed and run. And to me, this is going to another level above just literally, you're actually active in trying to change things.
Hopefully there's a kind of result, and like we say also with inspiration, let your light shine. And there is this poem from Marianne Williams and out there, it says, our deepest fear is not that we're mediocre. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And that it's an illusion to keep ourselves small, not to frighten others. It's just the opposite. If we allow ourselves to really shine and live our true self, then we give others somehow also the permission to grow. And we have the saying, giving is better than taking. But, you know, if you're really shining in a bit yourself, it's not actually really giving. It's just more radiating. I think the sun is not really giving us light. It's just the sun. And it's just, it's like if you go in on the mountain, there is a source and water pours out. It's not that the thought thinks, I need to give water. No, it's just what we naturally do. And this is the crazy thing, what we invented with all this money and that ego stuff, that we lost. And I truly believe that if we, then only it's real win-win possible, if we really live ourselves, then we can make win-win situations. Then we can raise up and stop fighting with each other, because come back to the laws, where a problem is a solution. So if we understand this all and we feel here is a problem for us, Brian, you want this and I want that, it looks like contradiction, but I know for sure from the law, even if I don't see the solution yet, there is a solution that we both can be happy. The question is, again, are we willing to go for it? Did we have the understanding that there is a solution? And we're training kids, us, because, you know, in history, we're living more from the outside in. And if you want to be rich, you need to take land, cows, water. I need to take away, I need to have, look here, Britain. You see it everywhere. This is Lord so-and-so and that's the Queen. They have more land. And the poor people didn't have land. So that was the way we lived up to it. Yeah? But today the richest man on planet Earth is Bill Gates. I guess he must be the guy who has the most cows on planet Earth. No. We realize there are other things that can make you wealthy. It's not just simply about land. We don't need to steal. We can learn that with creation, we can do everything. 200 years ago, 80-90% of the people, the population, were working on farms. Today it's only 2%. So just believe in transformation. Believe in the future that we can create. But we all need to get out of the victim and understand the law.
We are pleased to announce that Wolfgang Sonnenberg's book, Better the Whole World Against Me Than My Soul, is available now at amazon.co.uk and amazon.com. Thank you and enjoy the book.
I can see clearly.